In verse 13, he says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Do you know what is available to you? Verse 13, joy, peace, hope, power. It's all right in there. But it is only available to those who believe. Is he king? Yeah. Do I believe that? Yeah. How's it impacting your walk? Where are your choices being made? Are you committing? Are you joining? Are you serving? Are you praying? Are you showing? Because that's what it means to believe. Because when you really believe something, it really does change what you do and your choices you make. If you really believe you got heart disease, you're going to eat some Cheerios. If you really believe the Cheerio commercial. All I'm saying is when you really believe something, somebody tells you you got a problem that you need to change, you're going to exercise when you never would before. And guys, listen, there's power available. There's hope. Do you have power? Where does that power come from? That power is the Holy Spirit living through you. There's a grace given to you. You specifically. You have been given a gift of the Holy Spirit. Whatever it may be. It's to teach. It's to preach. It's to share. It's to comfort. It's to have mercy. It's to help. But you have something that when you're doing it, it unleashes and God animates it. And you can use it in your neighborhood to give cookies to some neighbor, to help somebody with their tractor, to help somebody with their car, to give somebody a ride, to give money because you've got a little bit extra and you know you love to give money. You've got gifts. And the power comes when we begin to believe God. God is in control. This is not my stuff. I am not my own. I am God's, bought with a price. And he's telling them that when they get on their game, they're going to be a people filled with hope and so forth. All the things in verse 13. If they believe. And in verse 14, he turns from the mission to the Gentiles to sharing with us that he is the minister of the Gentiles. I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another. Really? Have you ever looked at the typical church in America? You think they're filled with goodness? Paul did. If Paul looked at this group right here, he would say, I am persuaded. He's talking to you. I'm persuaded that you are filled with all goodness. How can that be? Well, because the Holy Spirit of God lives in us. He's in there. And that goodness is there. It's the actual true goodness. You know, when we start saying, I don't care what people think, that ain't God. That ain't God. You know, God does care what people think. That's why he sent Jesus. That's why he's sending you. He says, I'll bleed for you. And I want you to know that. So I want you to think, I'll bleed for you. I'll die for you. People can say that all they want. Oh, somebody tried to kill my kids, tried to take my wife, I'd kill them. Well, you very well might, but you might crumble. You might run. You don't know what you'd do till it came down to it. But Jesus proved what he would do. And he never blinked. He never opened his mouth and he never objected. He took the nails, he took the nakedness. And he took the grave and the death. And all he asks us to do is receive him. Receive him. To as many as receive him, what? He makes children of God. Well, I can do that. But be a living sacrifice, right? He says in verse 7 or 15, he says, Nevertheless, brethren, I have written unto you more boldly, in some sort, or on some points, putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me. His grace was to be an apostle. He says that I should be a minister of Christ to the Gentiles. He's telling them about Jesus. He's telling the Gentiles. He's a Jewish rabbi. He's telling them about Jesus. Ministering the gospel of God that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. What that means is, Paul said, I preach my heart out to you, Romans, because I want to make sure that when you stand before God, that you've got your mind around the realities that I've just articulated in the past 14 chapters. And he says, what I want it to be is I want it to be the actual real deal. I want it to be a byproduct of the Holy Spirit of God. What he's saying is that people who are not genuine, people who are hypocrites, people who are not real saved people in the church, might be driven away by what I say. But if I say the right thing, it will resonate in the true-hearted people, and they will say, sign me up. Yes, I need to adjust this. Yes, I need to adjust that. And it will be a work of God by the Holy Spirit. Beloved, it's not natural. But when you hear the Word of God and it comes with power to your heart, and you make the adjustment, that's a byproduct and a proof that the Holy Spirit really is in there. Wouldn't you rather have a group of about 50 people who really love Jesus and really knew Him than to have a whole slew of people who are posers? Because you know what happens with posers? Is they can pull it off. It's not hard to look good, act good, smell good. But when the lights go down, nobody's watching. Who are you? Are you real? Is he really, really all about? Are you really about Jesus? Is all that I adore, is it really in him? I like my stuff. I adore them more. They become idols. This book, Paul himself says, I want this group of people I'm writing to in verse 16 to have been sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I want them to have been set apart. And that's why I punctuated some things very, very completely, very deliberately in my book and in my writing. Verse 17, I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought through me, what he hasn't worked through me. I'm not going to talk about anything except what God has worked through me. What do you brag about? You know? We're all prone to it. It tells a lot about you, what makes you laugh and what makes you happy and what lifts, you know, lights you up. It really does. You know, the Bible says he that loves much is forgiven much, loves much. And our problem is we don't think we've done all that bad of stuff, or otherwise we would be really deliberate to do everything very fastidious. Remember Noah moved with fear in the preparing of the ark? You know, he just did it just like God said. And there was a whole plan. And there's a whole plan in this book how you and I need to live the Christian life. And he's telling him in this passage that he is the minister of Jesus to the Gentiles. And he says that God gave him stuff that he did through him in verse 18. And he used in 19 mighty signs and wonders and power of the Holy Spirit. Now, there were certain miracles done by Paul nobody else had. You read the book of Acts, you'll find him taking hankies and sending them from him in prison. He'd send hankies to people and they'd get healed. And so some goofball evangelist in the year 2000, or in the 21st century, says, hey, we'll lock on to that. Hey, we'll send you a hanky. Send us your money. Well, my Bible tells me that God bore the apostles' witness in Hebrews 2:4. You can put it in the margin there. Hebrews 2, chapter 2, verse 4, it says, God bore witness to the apostles with signs and wonders and diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His own will. The apostles got the miracles. In fact, Jesus, at the end of His ministry, He says, a wicked and a perverse generation, seek it, a sign. Wow. Really? People who go and say, I want to get another sign over here. I want to go get another sign over here. Wicked, perverse, God called them. But God was out there with no media. And Paul walks in. They don't know him. He raises somebody up who can't walk. They start leaping and joy, rejoicing. Pretty awesome stuff. Who is this guy? Well, I want to tell you about my Savior. Well, what about that? Forget about that. Let me tell you about Jesus. And he was pounding out a trail so that you and I would be on a strong foundation. He gave them abilities that were sensational because this was a big course correction. It was no longer Judaism. It was Jesus. How cool is that? It's all about Him. And the Bible says in verse 19 that He gave them those signs. And in verse 20 He says, yea, I have strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another one's foundation. But in verse 21, to whom He was not spoken of, they shall see. He's quoting a scripture. He says, they shall that have not heard will understand, and for this cause I have been much hindered coming to you. What he's saying is, you know what? When I got saved, I was a rabbi. God struck me down on the Damascus Road. There I was, hit with a bolt of lightning, as it were, saying, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus. He got up. He went into town. Man named Ananias came over, healed his eyes. He got up. He said, go be baptized now because you've been because you've had the forgiveness of sins. You rise on the account of baptism, on account of forgiveness. Go be baptized now that you've been forgiven. He got baptized. And then he spent 3 years on the backside of the desert studying the scriptures he loved. And every time he quotes Scripture here, he's saying, I found this, and I found this about the Gentiles, and I found this about the Gentiles. And one of the things he found is in verse 21, whom he has not been spoken of, they shall see. They that have not heard shall understand. That's the Gentiles. And he says, because I believed God, and I hoped it would happen, because I found a promise that was true, that God said, this would happen. I went and preached to him. Guess what? Because I did, there was so much fruit, I've had a hard time getting to you. Just because I took him at his word. Now guys, listen. You've got to put into your faith exactly what God says. Not your own ideas. Not some other person's idea. Your understanding of this book. Because God says those promises are for our instruction. Earlier in the chapter, in verse 4. He wants you to realize these things are written to help you in your walk. It's not about your day-to-day. It's about Jesus all the time. And yet we're all about us sometimes. And then finally, he goes from explaining why he's the minister of the Gentiles, because he took God at his word, and tells us that the ministry of the Gentiles, and I will just give you a flyby on these verses as I'm wont to do, as he says, these people, he says, I'm going to come to you, but I've got to go give a gift to the Jews in Jerusalem, because the Gentiles were so lit up about God, they sent a monetary gift. And the key verse I want you to hone in on is verse 27. It says, it hath pleased them, those Gentiles, verily, or truly, or most assuredly. And their debtors, they are. The Jews' debtors, they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of the Jews' spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. In other words, they're poor now, and they're sending money. And if you read in Corinthians, you'll find out these are people sending money who don't have money. Paul said, no, you keep your money, you need your money. They say, no, we beg you, take our money and give it to those people in Jerusalem. Because they understood, as Gentiles, that they personally had a responsibility too. Their ministry was to turn around and echo that God is merciful. And he did it through this man, Paul. They gave him his money, they pressed it into his hand, said, see to it. And they sent it back. And then he asks for prayer for himself at the end, in verse 31. Pray for me that I may be delivered from them that don't believe in Jesus. Pray for me that my service, which I have for Jerusalem, may be accepted by the saints. Pray for me, verse 32, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may be refreshed by you. He's praying for things that have to do with his ministry. He's saying, I don't want to be killed when I go to Jerusalem. I've been told by Agabus that if I go down there, they're going to kill me. So, pray for me. Beloved, listen. Our prayers are supposed to be about our walk. That's what I want to punctuate. As ministering Gentiles today, we're supposed to be rejoicing and glorifying God for his mercy. But if we don't think we needed mercy, we're not happy about what we got. So I want to ask you today, do you know what really awesome treasure you have in these earthen vessels? I mean, really? I mean, have you lost sight of it? Can you be provoked this morning to let the Holy Spirit set you apart again unto a holiness? A real deal Christian who says, you know, whatever he wants, I'll do. If it's to serve, I'll serve. If it's to speak to somebody next to me, I'll speak to him. If it's to sing, if it's to show up, I'm going to do what King Jesus wants me to do. Because I am going to be obedient to that holy calling, that heavenly spirit, that Holy Spirit that's in me saying, go, do, answer, respond. Would you bow with me for a moment?